You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Daniel Howitt's interview with the director for Cruella, Craig Gillespie.
From the very beginning, I realized I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho. Sorry now. But a new day brings new opportunities. Sorry now. And I was ready to make a statement. How does the saying go? I am woman. Hear me roar. Getting started, darling. The thing is, I was born brilliant, born bad, and a little bit mad.
You guys all have these amazing microphones. I feel like it might help me to have a more luxurious voice, maybe.
Your voice sounds perfect, Craig.
Obviously, I'm on mute.
Well, Craig, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
So to kick things off, I read an interview with you back when you made I, Tonya, and you described the process of finding that script as finding one that you could make uniquely your voice. So when it came to join Cruella to make this film, what made you feel that this was a movie that you could make uniquely yours?
Sorry. I kind of just chuckled a little bit because it wasn't uniquely mine. And that was my big hesitation when I got the script. I loved the idea of Emma Stone playing Cruella in 1970s London. That was incredibly exciting to me. And the script was extremely well written. They'd done a wonderful job with it, but it didn't play to my strengths. And so, which is like trying to find this tone that I sometimes call like painfully funny, where within the same scene is both the duality of humor and drama happening. And it's a very specific tone, and it's hard to find. And the hardest part of that is finding the writers that can deliver that. And I'd just been working with Tony McNamara on a script. He'd just done The Favourite with Emma Stone, and I absolutely love his writing, and he agreed to come on board. And then it took off for me. Then it was, you know, all that delicious banter that you have between them, like, is, you know, Tony's writing, and that's like a place that I'm extremely comfortable in.
And for years, there's been discourse, I'm sure that you were aware of it when signing on, about the Disney live action remakes and, you know, how they compare to the animated films and things like that. This, of course, isn't a remake, but how conscious of those comparisons were you when making the film, about how it compares to the animated one, you know, how it compares to the Glenn Close films? What were your thoughts towards that as you dived in?
Well, the amazing thing is that there's basically no backstory to Cruella, other than she went to school with Anita when she was 5. So I loved that latitude that we had. And to the point of, like, you know, I honestly, coming off of I, Tonya, and they had approached me for this film after I, Tonya, and talked about the use of music in I, Tonya, and, you know, using like The Clash and Blondie and all these songs, you know, in Cruella, that I felt they really wanted me to lean into it. Like, they're incredibly supportive that way, Sean Bailey and the team over at Disney. So I wasn't concerned at all. It's like, and because this is not really a remake of it to any kind, it's so completely original. That was incredibly exciting to me. I deliberately stayed away from the Glenn Close version of it and did not actually watch it, because I knew we were sort of reinventing like a world, and it wasn't part of that world. And because we were in 1970s King's Road punk London, And we devised this whole like sort of character arc for Cruella that was so much a part of that that I felt like we really had to discover our own voice for it. So I deliberately started with a clean slate there.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers. Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Well, and something that is so refreshing about this film is how much darker it is than most Disney movies, tonally speaking, and it works so well. Did you find it difficult to lean into that dark tone while still knowing at the end of the day you've got to deliver a Disney movie, a relatively family-friendly movie?
I don't know. I didn't find it difficult. I don't know how Disney was. But there were a couple of times where they were like, this is too dark. And we would shoot alts, you know? But everything made it in amazing.
Are you able to tell me what any of those alts are?
I mean, just like minor stuff, like, you know, where the guys are like getting tied up and you know, Harris gets punched by one of the thugs, you know, in a close up. And they're like, yeah, we don't want to, you know, you should probably cover one without him being punched. And it didn't even occur to me, you know, because I was sort of very myopically involved in the story and where we were in the drama here, and the stakes are high at this point. And it's like, they're not fooling around. They're about to, you know, try and murder somebody. So, you know, I felt like, it's funny. It didn't feel dark to me. I don't know what that says, but I feel like when you're doing this dance between the humor and the drama and the darkness, it gives you a little bit more freedom because you can get dark, but then you're getting this release for the audience in the next scene, or even like halfway through that scene at times, you know, like it's this constant dance. So it's like, all right, when it gets too dark, we get this, you know, we let them, you know, laugh or blow off some steam or have a release. So it was really calibrating that, the amount of humor within stuff.
And the film's not only tonally darker, it's also like visually darker, grittier.
Very happy about that.
Disney movies. Yeah, and so can you tell me about your approach to the visual style and if there were any specific films or other inspirations toward the visual style?
I brought my the DP that I worked with on I, Tonya. I was lucky enough to get Nicholas Katsikatanis again to do this project. And he comes more from an independent world, which is what I wanted to bring to this. And same like Fiona Crombie, who had just come off of The Favourite as our production designer, same thing. It's like, and so I really approached this like an independent film, and as you know, upfront with that with Disney, although there's a massive scale to it, obviously there's a palette that is very sophisticated, I think, in terms of is something we wanted to lean into. And I just wanted to make sort of this very luxurious kind of grittier film. And it's, you know, to the point that we wanted to shoot on film. It was for various complications, we couldn't, but we did tests on film before we started shooting and test digitally. And then we sent it to Tom Poole, our colorist, and said, make the digital look as close to the film as you could. So with all the imperfections in the film grain, and he did an amazing job. So, you know, and Disney was apprised of all of that and supportive. And so we really just kept leaning into it and not getting no's.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. Any specific films or other inspirations for the visual style?
For the visual style, it's kind of more of a language that like Nicholas and I developed on iTanya. It's like, it's sort of, it is constantly this dance between Steadicam or handheld or, you know, so we actually didn't look at any films in terms of references. There was a lot of photography we looked at from the 70s in London, and that just that sort of just that layer of like smog that existed back then. So it was more that kind of reference and a palette. And it's like a lot of pulls for like fashion shows and all of those things. But like visually we shot 35, you know, for the Cruella's world. And then we shot 65 for the Baroness's world. So, you know, they have a very different visual style to them.
If I'm not mistaken, Emma Stone was already signed on to the film when you came on, but I don't believe any of the rest of the cast was.
That's correct.
So can you tell me about assembling this phenomenal cast, especially Emma Thompson, who's just insane, amazing in this movie?
The casting is the most stressful part for me, because dealing with this tone, if the actor can't do it, I'm completely screwed. It's like, and it's a very specific, tricky thing to do for actors. It's like, you know, I feel like comedy in a lot of ways is, you know, sometimes harder than drama, but this is comedy and drama simultaneously, and they have to be able to do that dance within a scene. So it's the thing that I really fight the most for, is casting. And I was incredibly lucky to get all of our first choices, and Emma being, you know, at the top of the list there, Emma Thompson, and because I knew she could do this dance, and Tony's writing, there's such a specificity to it and how to play those scenes. And they're very tricky, and she's amazing in them. And she elevates them in that sense. And, you know, where she's simultaneously being funny and drab about talking about the death of a mother, you know, with the child involved. And it's like, they're very tricky scenes to do, and that she makes it look effortless. And same, but obviously Emma Stone as well, with her role with that, like within those scenes, it's like, being able to dance every time, like within the humor and the drama, and keep the gravitas and the darkness. It's a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah, they nail it for sure. Well, my time is almost up. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Pam and Tommy. You're on this kind of quote unquote bad girl streak here, iTanya, Cruella, and Pam and Tommy. So I thought you had cast Lily James in that in the show, but I'm seeing these photos and I'm not seeing her anywhere. So where's Lily, Craig? Where is she?
She is doing a phenomenal job of getting completely lost in the character. It's funny. It's like, you know, I loved the idea of Lily for Pam and Tommy because she has this accessibility and this warmth to her, and this natural way with her performances that I've seen in the past. And of course, we haven't seen anything like the version of Pamela. But for me, first and foremost, I needed that grounding to it, because everything else is just the veneer. And so I thought, you know, I was really excited about the idea of working with her on it, and she's just killing it. You know, it's a tall order to be trying to pull off an icon and to do it, you know, not just be an impression. You know, it's like you've got to try and get to the character underneath, and it's a scary thing for an actor to do, and she's doing an amazing job.
Well, I'm so excited about that. Excited for more people to see Cruella. Craig, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Daniel Howitt's interview with the director for Cruella, Craig Gillespie, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. Cruella is currently streaming on Disney Plus with Premier Access and also playing in theaters. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and we are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we shall see you all next time.
Hi, I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.